This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Tuesday, 1st of March, 2022. Markets continuing to try to take this war in Ukraine in stride. If we look at the main equity indices, where we saw another strong day yesterday, have a difficult time seeing how this can continue, given the uncertainties here. But perhaps, I don't know if what you're thinking, Peter, I think maybe the lower yields playing a role here and at least helping something like the NASDAQ 100 higher. You can see on the slide two, the technicals there, we're reaching an interesting Fibonacci retracement locally around the 14,300 area. But there's, of course, a very interesting things to track in our baskets and themes. Where we've got this back online, we had a technical disruption where we were unable to show our equity baskets. But look at that defense performance I'm seeing at the top of your list there. What else are you seeing in this market?
Yeah, it's you can go read my equity notes. I'll be short today because you're on a tight schedule, John. So it's our defense baskets, it's the green transformation, and then the cybersecurity. There's a big move as well in crypto-related assets, but I have a comment or a little bit of a warning around that later in the podcast. So that's sort of the trends. And then, of course, as well mentioned that travel is really taking a hit here. So it's gone from being a reopening trade to, you know, just a disaster because of what's taking place. And then mega caps, I think it's a surprise underperforming to the extent it does. But I think it's pressure on large companies to divest Russian assets. But we'll talk about that again later in the podcast.
Yeah, some interesting discussion there on any exposure on any level to Russia, and it's under threat from all directions. Let's look at something that's going on here, because we did see this comprehensive round of sanctions over the weekend that has pretty obviously very important implications for Russia itself, but it also means it sets in motion a lot of moving parts and difficulties in the banking system because of this counterparty risk linked to Russian actors and those that are exposed to Russian actors in the system. And Altea, you're bringing up an important sign of this systemic risk actually being expressed in one market measure here. So take us through what that measure is and how you think the authorities might address it.
Yeah, so basically in slide three, John, we are looking at the LIBOR OIS spread. And we have seen that since yesterday in the opening has spiked by 12 basis points. That's a clear risk that lending is becoming more risky. So basically what the market is telling us is that because of these swift sanctions that we've seen imposed on Russia, the Federal Reserve might need to increase money supply. And that means that basically bond market and yields in particular will need to fall. And that's exactly what we have seen yesterday in the US, in the UK, and also in Europe. We have seen basically yields curve shifting lower. But not only the market is telling us that the Fed might need to stimulate the economy further, but if you go on slide number four and we take the two-year US Treasury 1 year or two-year forward, we see that they are flirting with the 2% level once that they broke and consistently traded above these levels since the beginning of February. Basically, what these forwards are telling us is that not only the Federal Reserve would need to stimulate the economy, but the tightening cycle will be short-lived. So that's what we see in the bond market as we have arrived in the first part of the year, market pricing 7 rate hikes in the US, and now basically they have been falling to 5.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see where the market is settling here and this strange need for the Fed to potentially provide some sort of easing, at least in money markets, to prevent this kind of systemic risk from blowing out, at the same time needing to deliver a credible message on tightening policy due to inflation. And it's a very interesting and difficult inflection point, to say the very least, for this Fed. We have Biden's State of the Union address tonight. I can't help but imagine here you have a president under maximum pressure, historic approval ratings for him, at least low approval ratings, and the degree to which he's hammering on the inflation message and what he's going to do about it. And again, this has become a more political Fed, as we saw during the Powell renomination process and the Brainard vice chair nomination process, that this has been, they've been given a political mandate to do something about inflation. So how hard does he hammer on the inflation message? and of course the geopolitical situation with the war in Ukraine. And then following that up, we now have it on the schedule that Fed Chair Powell will be out with a semi-annual testimony tomorrow and Thursday. And we haven't heard from him in a little while. Does he signal more hawkishness relative to where the market has settled, which is back towards a consensus that we'll only see the 25 basis points in March? I think maybe some room for volatility around the Fed outlook if the Powell Fed feels forced to be sound a bit more hawkish. All right, you have another interesting signal here in the bond market. You've talked recently about the inability for corporate credit or corporates to float new bond issuance, but here's Ukraine trying to float a war bond. So take us through what you're seeing there.
Ukraine today should issue the first war bonds that we have seen in a while. The issuance should be in local currency with 1 year maturity, and the coupon will be determined in the auction. It must be said that despite this issuance is offered to both domestic and international buyers, the central banks has imposed capital controls, which means that maybe foreign investors are going to find it difficult to participate in this auction. However, John, it's important to highlight that at this point of time, sentiment in Ukrainian bonds, despite the plunge massively, we are seeing in slide number five, the 2022 US dollar notes plunging to 50 cents to the dollar. But if we go to longer maturities, they plunged as much as 30 cents on the dollar. But despite they have dropped sensibly, sentiment remains much stronger than, for example, the Russian bond market, which is completely paralyzed. And also, the Ministry of Finance in Ukraine looks committed to carry on normal operations. There is a coupon payment due today, and it looks like that money of $300 million has already been sent. Wow. And will be received today. So definitely this should be a huge pro for Ukraine and should attract demands, but definitely everything is possible in wartime.
Yeah, that's remarkable stuff. Okay, let's look at how FX is absorbing all this. I think the interesting thing to look at here is in FX is the commodity overlay, which seems to dominate. You can see on slide 6 with the FX board, the trends we're seeing the weakest being the euro and the sterling. They're impacted the most by the risk of further cutoff of energy supplies. The Swedish krona as well, to a degree, as it is very pro-cyclical, linked to exports into Europe. And then on the strong side, we're seeing Nokia, the Norwegian krona, ignoring the risks and beginning to celebrate or at least to absorb these positive impact of the higher oil price. As well, the Kiwi doing well, and the Australian dollar really leading the charge here. And put in a chart there, it's really getting interesting levels here. The Aussie dollar, so different from its behavior in previous cycles. If you look at Australia and its commodity portfolio, it's pretty remarkable how secure the country is. It's a wheat exporter. Let's not forget, number one exporter of wheat in the world, Russia. It may have some of its exports offline, unable to transact in many cases. Ukraine, the sixth largest. Australia is a significant wheat exporter. It also exports LNG. You can't make it up. And oil, coal and iron ore as well. So an interesting play there, an interesting thing. And that's despite the fact that the RBA overnight was dovish and linking its dovishness to and its concern to specifically to the situation in Ukraine. And yet we have the Aussie bobbing back higher, no impact on Australian rates. All right, let's get back to you, Peter. You've got a couple of interesting, very compelling points to make here. And one of those, let's start with your crypto story, because you're talking about in this morning's internal meeting. What are you seeing here? What is the spin here in the crypto space, which we've seen some pretty strong activity, to say the least, in terms of prices. But what are you looking at?
Yeah, so prices have shot up, as you can see here on slide 7. We're trading just below 43,500 level this morning. But what I was highlighting in internal call is that you can see from the conversation that is going on yesterday on FinTwit that there is enormous pressure on increasing enormous pressure on these crypto exchanges. But for now, they're saying we will not abide by the sanctions. They're not legally forced to do it or should do it. So they can do that for now. They won't do anything against, you know, Russian accounts, etc. And but what I noticed was that on Tether, that has been in a massive surge in volume, and it has been highlighted by key people in the crypto industries within the virtues and values of the crypto, that you can circumvent sanctions by using Tether. And that is exactly what you have seen the last 2 days, especially yesterday. And the ECB was out last week. They have this definitely on the radar. The Lagarde already said that the crypto should be regulated. And my point is that the crypto industry tries to be the digital Switzerland, neutral and decentralized and open for everyone. And I think in a wartime situation like this, there is no middle ground. We are definitely in extremistan. So it's, as I said, it's binary. It's either zero or one. And I just want to flag this because we have a lot of retail clients, and I think you should not be naive and believe that this is some warm inland pond where you can sit and be cozy and have a hedge. I mean, if this continues, then suddenly you will wake up one morning and there's a massive headline risk that your crypto holdings are down a lot or can be freezed. So this is just a warning for everyone out there, so you understand the risk picture.
And as you mentioned, actually, you called it the people thinking it's a digital Switzerland, and Switzerland itself actually moving to agree with many and move and mobilize with the same sanctions that the EU is doing. So it's going to be tough to find friends if you have your operations in these assets in countries that are not Russia itself or elsewhere that are not basically any country doing sanctions. Definitely a key warning there. All right. Russian diversification from Russian assets, a key theme here, and it's operating on all levels. We were talking about that this morning. Specifically, what are you looking at? What are the big names you're looking at there?
Yeah, so we have had a couple of names over the past 12 hours. We have had Shell, they're divesting now. Uber is divesting their stake in Yandex, which is the Russians' equivalent of Google. You have had this morning that Maersk is now saying that they are, for now, holding all transportation of containers in and out of Russia. They have already done that in Ukraine because of the war situation in Ukraine. So it's coming down on all levels. There were noise yesterday that Netflix apparently, and Netflix have been very slow at commenting on this, but they have been forced to by today, put 20 Russian state medias on their streaming platform. They have 1 million customers in Russia. And especially the Finnish people, I could see that last night were very angry on social media. And, you know, there was just screenshots all over, you know, people canceling their subscriptions for Netflix. And this is some of the situation we're in right now. The American companies are taking a very passive position. The same with Chevron and ExxonMobil. They're not yet told what to do. This morning, Macron said that the French government is putting maximum pressure on Total to make a decision as well on Russian assets. So I expect that this is a snowball effect that will continue to roll and develop over the week, and we could hit a maximum pressure point maybe by midweek or by the late of the week, especially companies like Apple with the pretty sizable operations in Russia will have to make very key decisions here.
Big consumer brands as well, I imagine. And again, it'll be interesting to see Biden's State of the Union address tonight. Now, earnings season also rolling on. I think you highlighted most of the key names yesterday, but what are you looking at for today?
Key focus, Salesforce, Sea, Baidu, Neo, and First Soul in US session. And we already got Zalando, which was our key focus for Europe. The shares are a little bit down here for Zalando. The market is not happy with the deceleration in the revenue growth, which is expected to be between 12 and 19% for this year. So they are converging towards the revenue growth rate you're seeing at H&M and Inditex for this year, or at least the spread is getting so low that, I mean, can you justify the valuations there? So pressure on Zalando today. So watch that. But otherwise, the US names that we just mentioned.
All right. That brings us to the macro calendar, slide 10. We have the German CPI up today, flash CPI for February. Not sure it's a market moving activity. I think the key thing for the euro is that we've seen a very euro positive development in this fiscal push for more defense. That move by Germany is going to be copied elsewhere. But I don't think it'll find expression in the euro specifically until we get to the other side, hopefully very soon, of this war in Ukraine. February ISM manufacturing up today from the US, but it's all about the Biden State of the Union. Any sort of real, you know, pointed focus, I would say, on inflation and on the geopolitical backdrop should be watched for. And then following up and on the back of that, the more political Fed and whether Powell is prompted by this stance to indicate more hawkishness than the market is expecting, or whether the market simply has it correct that we're going to see a lower terminal rate for Fed funds rate from here. And then we'll have to watch for, again, any moves that are being mobilized to mitigate the risks of some sort of systemic financial crisis. I'm sure the authorities are on top of that, but that doesn't mean there's certain players that couldn't get into trouble on that front. All right, let's stay very careful out there. Be aware of the risks across the board on all of this, and we'll be back tomorrow with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.